paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jack Draper, and this is Drop Shot.
It's a really weird atmosphere here as the rain is tumbling down and the press room is emptying with each hour as it becomes more and more obvious that play outdoors is wishful thinking. This means that for the moment, all the matches are being played indoors, and there is a huge backlog from yesterday's no-play day, and only a certain number of people can get down to watch the games and have to be shepherded down in small groups. The one group of people who can't watch any of these games are the public, and what's left of them on site are huddled in the eating facilities, and I think even the most hardened of tennis fans are reluctantly disappearing from the venue. It's so sad. And I feel for everyone, from the fans to the players to the media and the tournament organisers, for whom this must be a hammer blow for one of my favourite weeks of the year. Gary's calling me in a minute, so I'd better wait for my master to call. That's irony. I'm being ironic, okay?
Hello, Kel.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. I just thought I'd give you a quick call to check in to see what you're up to today, as I'm not there. Can you cope without me?
Say, can I cope without you?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I can cope without you. What I can't cope with is this weather.
Well, I know you have abandonment issues, so I don't want you to feel like I've abandoned you.
Well, I feel that every day you leave me, Gary.
I've just got to my office in town, and it's actually nice weather here, but judging by the weather reports, you're in Nottingham now, right?
Yeah, it took me ages to get here. All the roads were flooded, there were trees down in the roads. It's been hell. I mean, really, you need an arc here. I feel really sorry for the tournament because there's just no way I think they're going to play outdoors today. So there'll be 2 days running without tennis outdoors.
I'm assuming Jay's not going to get on court then.
No, well, I mean, last night they released the order of play and he was down as one of the last ones, which said TBA to be arranged. So I've got here, funny enough, I just bumped into Paul Jubb and he and I are going to have a word later about things, and I think he's got to know Jay, so we're going to chat about Jay. But he's one of the few games that's going to get few games that are going to go on court today. He's down on the first set of games indoors, so that's something to look forward to. But I don't know how they'll complete this tournament, really.
Your mate Jubby. Well, look, I was speaking to Kurt late last night. And we're just having a chat about some other stuff, so I'll leave you two to catch up, and then I guess you can just wait around and hopefully Jay gets on and hopefully he wins.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. My thinking is that we will just do a lot of hanging around because there's about 5 matches on each of the indoor courts going on now, and I can't see there's actually time in the day to even fit Jay in now, so I think it'll be tomorrow. When you're back.
Yes, excellent. Well, you know what? If only I had my recording equipment on me as well, because as I was coming into my office just now on Tottenham Court Road, guess who I bumped into?
Paul Jubb.
Sloane Stephens.
Really?
Yeah, just saw her walking along. I was like, I know you. Oh, hello, Sloane. That was all in my head, obviously. I didn't say it to her, and I just let her walk on by.
That's unlike you to not stalk somebody once you recognise them.
I know, but I was thinking I've got to give Kerry a call, and I don't want him getting upset, so you had my attention for a moment. So now I'm just going to head off onto Tottenham Court Road and see if I can still spot her.
No, she saw you. I got a text from her saying, "Oh my God, I've just seen Gary Hayes. I'm getting a taxi out of here."
She wants to go to Nottingham where the rain is.
Yeah, it's where everyone is.
Right, well, look, in all seriousness, I'll let you go, and I'll leave you to catch up with Kurt and Jay, and hopefully you have a good day with them, and Jay gets some good practice in ahead of facing Duckworth.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, mate.
Cool.
All right,
speak to you later. Speak to you soon. Bye.
The rain is incessant, but one person who has managed to get his game completed, albeit indoors, is Paul Jubb, the young player that the world was buzzing around only a few days ago at Surbiton. I put my player requests in earlier today, and after watching him gain his first professional win, I've got the shout that I can have a sit down with him, just the two of us. Just the two of us. Aha, Jubby, you're right.
Yeah,
you guys know each other.
Yeah,
yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Anthony, can you send me the first pick on the post?
Yep. Yeah. Tell me off a sec, I'll sort it out, yeah.
How was your breakfast?
Great.
How are you? How was your second experience of an English grass court tournament?
I only say grass because we played on indoor hard today, but it's. You know, I'm so happy to be experiencing this level and, you know, just seeing what I need to do to, you know, get to the next, you know, level. So, yeah.
Also, what's it like for you coming over here, having gone through the whole American system? Now you're here, you're English, and actually there's other players who are discovering you. I talked to Heather Watson the other day and she said, "Oh, I didn't know much about him, but I was practicing on the court next to him. He looks really focused. He looks really good." What's it like for you sort of coming home but in a different capacity?
I like it that I've been doing my own thing and, you know, a bit under the radar to, you know, British people over here, and, you know, I've just been working really hard since I've been over there, and it's, you know, good to come back and people are noticing what I've been doing. I've always kind of liked it that way, you know, just being under the radar and just putting in the hours and you know, just gradually getting the results, you know, but constantly climbing that ladder, and, you know, it's good to see people are noticing.
Have you set yourself goals or aims or ambitions? Are you just really living in the present and just going through each day?
Yeah, just really living in the present. I've got nothing, no specific goals other than, you know, just really working hard to, you know, try and sustain this level what I'm at right now, and, you know, get better and keep pushing myself, because you know, it's a really important stage for me right now, to stay on it, and just keep going really hard. But yeah, there's no major goals to put too much pressure on myself. It's just, yeah, all about still progressing to, you know, help me, you know, get results in the future.
So do you find that you're really finding mentally that you, with these sort of tournaments and playing this level of player and these pros, that you're starting to feel a sense of belonging?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last week when I played James Ward, and I had full belief that I could go on and win that match, and I felt comfortable. I didn't feel like I was, you know, playing 10 out of 10 for the whole match. So I certainly feel like I belong at this level. And, you know, today again, it was another close match, long match, and it was tight the whole way through. And, you know, I've shown that I can compete at this level, you know, which is, you know, giving me more and more belief, because, you know, before I played last week, and, you know, I wasn't sure how I was going to do. And, you know, I had belief in myself, but you never know until you're out there playing. So, you know, just, you know, gradually getting more and more confidence that, you know, this is where I'm meant to be right now.
So, I mean, your story's quite an interesting story. I mean, I don't know if you're happy to tell us, you know, your upbringing a little bit so that people can know about you and what happened with you.
My parents passed away when I was younger, and I've lived with my grandma for most of my life. But, you know, I've been brought up by a, you know, great close family and great support network, and they've helped me through so much. And I was... I've been so lucky to be surrounded by such great people. Johnny Carmichael, I've known since I was five. You know, he coached me all up until I went to college, and you know, that guy has, you know, done so much for me in my life. It's I can't thank him enough, and I just when I reflect on it, I just think I'm, you know, so thankful to be surrounded by those people who wanted to help me and wanted the best for me throughout my life, and, you know, understand what I've been through. But I've had a great bringing up by those people, and yeah, just very thankful.
And going to America, what's that like as an English kid? Going over there and facing that whole American system, and do you think it's really helped you as a player? Did they see something that perhaps you always did? Was there something about America that you couldn't have got here?
I definitely feel like it was the right move for me, and I've used it to the fullest, and I'm still going to when I go back. But yeah, it's just the environment, what you're training over there, the team environment, pushing each other day in, day out. Like, you know, it's everyone's there helping each other, whereas, you know, sometimes over here you get the feel like you're competing against one another, and because it's all individual, we don't have like the college team aspect over there. But you know, since I've been back, it's also been great. I'm playing with great people, you know, being tested day in, day out, and I like the best of both worlds, really. And you know, everyone's been so helpful since I've been back, and you know, the coaches, all the LTA, you know, they've been so great. And I like getting the best of both worlds with the team aspect over there, and then, you know, more coming back to more of an individual thing back here.
Okay, just last quick couple of questions. Do you know many of the British players? Do you know Jay Clark?
Yeah. You know, we wasn't really that close before I went to America and stuff, and you know, he was doing different things. But you know, we spoke a bit since I've been back, and I'm hanging around those type of people more often now. So.
Okay, and lastly, I saw your coach. And I just want to get this officially. I mentioned you as Jubby, and he said I'd have to get your permission to call you Jubby. So is it okay if I call you Jubby?
Yeah, for sure. I don't like it when people call me Paul anyway, so it sounds weird.
Thank you. Stories start to reveal themselves as the summer progresses, and I think Paul Jubb is one of them. He is extremely likeable. And I think if his game keeps going the way it is, then it won't be long before he's a fully-fledged professional tearing it up on the tour. And he doesn't strike me as anything other than level-headed. How long before he leaves college and he's signed up with one of the agents? Carry on like today, and it won't be long at all. I have a hunger to get some work done, but I think I'm going to suffer for my art today. I tell you, it's like feeding off scraps being a journalist, and is nowhere near as much fun as being a documentary maker. There's a real difference between the two. As a documentary maker, you can usually have a say in how, when and where, which helps with the quality of your audio. But as a journalist, I have to accept that everything is pretty much out of my control. If a player wants to chat in a noisy corridor, then that's where you chat. The only real say I get is putting in my request sheet for interviews. The rest is up to someone else. Plus, no one knows who the hell I am, so I am in the lap of the gods. Will they look kindly on me? As this feels like I'll have to do the hard yards to get anything out of the day. Time passes. It's been 4 hours since I talked to Jubby, and nothing else has happened for me. I've watched a few games, but there's been no one playing who is on my interview request form. There is a real feeling of inertia setting in, and I just want something to alleviate the boredom as we all wait in the vain hope of the rain stopping and the sun rising. But not today, methinks. The one thing about having indoor courts is, I guess, they're not limited by fading light. But it does mean some will play their matches well into the night. It's 6 o'clock now, and I've just got a text message from Kirk Clark, Jay's brother and coach, and he still doesn't know when Jay will play. But we are going to meet up and have a chat in the players' lounge. Get me. Gary will be green with envy.
I didn't have breakfast today. I had a coffee when I got here.
Are you a coffee fiend?
At tournaments, if it's a good coffee, like here's got a good coffee machine, so yeah, I enjoy having it.
I just wanted to have a quick chat with you about today. Here we are at Nottingham. It's the grass court tournament, but not a grass court has seen a player. How on earth do you deal with this rain? How do you cope with it as the coach? How do you keep Jay happy? How does Jay feel about it? Because you've been waiting around now for 2 days.
Well, I think it's the same for everyone. Obviously, everyone's got to go through the same thing. You know, just try and stay hydrated, eat as, you know, at the right times. You know, make sure you're doing all your mobility because you don't obviously get tightened up and, you know, stiff. You know, obviously, it's a lot of sitting around. So just keeping your mind active as well. Obviously, maybe walking around a little bit, but, you know, just doing your daily routines just maybe a few more times today.
So how's Jay feeling? Because we were hoping to get a word with him, but he's keener on doing other things, isn't he?
Yeah, so he likes to relax his mind before he goes on. He's a deep thinker. That's the way he plays, you know. So obviously he's trying to get his mind in that kind of state before he goes on. Obviously, the night before, we obviously talk a lot more about the match and, you know, we go through, I'll probably create some tactics. I'll watch the guy a few times and, you know, Rob will probably do the same thing and then Jay will and, you know, whoever else wants to give up like input, or even Simon actually sometimes says, you know, you'll spot something in a guy's movement, obviously being a fitness coach, and say, you know, you can maybe expose it in this way, and, you know, bit by bit you'll kind of piece it together, or we'll piece it together as a team. And after that, kind of the next day, it's kind of, you know, when he's warmed me up, I maybe say to him, you know, go tell me something about, you know, what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. And it's kind of like a question and answer, you know, so he's kind of thinking, he's kind of trying to find the answers even before he goes on.
Is that always the way it is? Is there variation, or is that the basis before every game?
I think obviously the last few years worked with a Spanish coach who's now obviously working with the Federation. He kind of helped us advance kind of how we were thinking. We kind of did this process before, but he's made it probably even more, he's cleaned it up even more when he was in our team. You know, we used to get to have a quick chat, but now it's kind of, you know, when we chat, it's always the same, and how we chat and how it's structured now.
Do you find that routine is really important before a game? Is that what makes it so difficult dealing with rain-affected tournaments?
I think routine is very important. Obviously, you know, if you do the same thing every single day, you're going to get very good at it. You're going to master it almost. And that's what most of the people in this room, I think, would imagine, you know, is going to be the key to success. Obviously, you've got to be careful about it because you don't want to get into routine. Obviously, you're going to, like you say, you've got the rain today, so, you know, a lot of guys won't be expecting that. And you don't also want to put, you know, spider webs in your way and, you know, things that, you know, potholes and stuff. You want to keep yourself, I don't know, open as well. But yeah, routine will help you a lot in this game, for sure.
Today, like, he's playing Duckworth, James Duckworth. Do you have a book of potential opponents that you record all the information on players and know who Jay could possibly face and what he'll have to face?
Yeah, so I have a notebook. I keep every, you know, every single player Jay's ever played in, you know, and obviously sometimes it changes, but also it changes depending on the surface. And, you know, because I know a lot of other guys, just like Jay, you know, will adapt their game to maybe, you know, the surface or the conditions. If it's a bit more humid, they, you know, they do certain things, maybe hit a few more slices in certain conditions. If it's windy, or look, you know, play forehand down the line a bit more, or if it's on a clay court. Or so we keep, yeah, it's good to keep notes, I think, and obviously you see the evolution of other players as well as yourself, so, you know, and also how you're playing them. You know, you maybe have a few more options a few years down the line. Okay, you know, actually now, obviously, the last few years I've been developing my only early backhand down the line. I can use that a bit more to expose the guys forehand, or, you know, these kind of things all the time.
So I guess your work as a coach is as much mental as physical, really, isn't it?
I think it's more mental than ever now. I think it's definitely changed. In the beginning, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it was more about developing Jay's game, you know, trying you know, make him as robust as possible and obviously have as many shots and options as possible being an all-court player. But now it's more, I don't know, it definitely has changed. You know, it's more about finding things in other people's games that Jay can use his strengths to expose, I guess.
Where, at what point does your job finish on match day, or does it never finish?
It's kind of, I have breaks in the day, but it can, you know, it can reroute to a bedtime tennis. I guess I'm always thinking, obviously, how I can help Jay get better, and, you know, obviously being his brother as well, obviously it's maybe different. Obviously, maybe some people take the coach's hat off for the day, but I try not to. Obviously, I want him to be really successful, you know, and do the best he can. So I generally won't switch off. I'll have the notebook again and I'll be writing ideas down, or maybe in my notes in my phone I'll be jotting things down while he's playing, and I'll be going through old videos and comparing him to maybe a year ago this time to now, you know, today. So I'm constantly doing that, to be honest.
Just before he goes on, is it like you see in football or rugby, or, you know, before bands go on, do you meet in the dressing room, do you high five, or is it a quiet thing? How does it work?
So generally we'll go off with the fitness trainer and go to the gym and just find a quiet space, and you'll obviously start with a bit of mobilisation, you know, and then you'll start obviously getting into it a bit more, you know, maybe a bit of running, maybe some hops, maybe some, you know, some activation work. And we're big into that for Jay, you know, getting his muscles explosive, getting him ready. It also helps for the mind as well, I think, you know, cognitively and stuff like that. And obviously while he's going through this, I'll ask him questions, you know, sometimes, oh, okay, I don't know, you know, what is your thinking? How are you going to expose this guy's backhand today? Or, you know, he's really good on the baseline. How are you going to make him come forwards a bit more off the baseline, pull him off? Or, you know, how are you going to make him uncomfortable today? And he'll answer it obviously in a few ways, and if not, I'll maybe give him a bit of help. But yeah, generally he finds an option himself.
Really, what you're saying to me there is that you're actually asking him questions so that he's already going out with an inquisitive mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to switch him on. I'm trying to get him, you know, thinking about it. That's why, I mean, a couple of years ago I maybe would have given him the answer straight away, but I actually found it's better, you know, from the people around me actually. You know, Simon obviously helps us with all the physical work and strength and conditioning, you know, to maybe ask him questions and, you know, open up his mind before he goes on for a match, actually.
With the weather as it is, what time are we looking at possibly going on to play tonight?
Could be 9, could be 10 o'clock tonight. Yeah, you just got to be ready, to be honest. You never know, someone could pull out as well. That always happens. So, yeah, anything right now, to be honest, could happen, but we're not sure, so...
Would you rather be in this position or have a wipeout for another day and know what time you're going to play tomorrow?
I think Jay's very mentally tough generally. And, you know, when I actually coach him, I talk to him a lot about acceptance of situations or, you know, things that go on. You know, sometimes maybe get a bad call or it's going to rain or it's super windy. And I think because we've always made Jay that way, and, you know, my dad obviously instilled that as when we were kids as well. We grew up at a very windy club, and he said, you know, you learn how to deal with the conditions, you know, the environment. Use it to your advantage, or, you know, those kind of things. I think Jay's grown up having a lot of acceptance of things going on around him. So, you know, the things that go on today, you know, he'll try and rest or prepare himself as best as possible, but he'll also get on there and say to himself, okay, if it doesn't go well straight away, you know, that's fine and I'll get into it later on.
So that thinking where you're talking about the acceptance of things like the wind, it's turning what other people could possibly see as negative into a positive.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've got to turn everything into a positive you do, especially in this sport because it's an individual one, and otherwise it's going to be really hard. It's really hard to go year in, year out. I think you've got to be analysing positively. You know, Jay's actual psychologist said it actually is a good thing to think about everything positively. Yeah.
But I think positivity is the key to everything. So with that positivity in mind, do you ever think you know how a match is going to come out for him?
I never know how it's going to come out. I see good things in warm-ups maybe, you know, the way he's moving or he's taking the ball early or his tempo. Or there's always markers for me that make me think it's going to be a good day, or it's still got the potential to be a good day. I never say, oh, he's going to win or he's going to lose. But yeah, I have feelings, obviously, knowing him this long now.
So have you got a feeling about today, or do you keep your feelings to yourself?
I'm going to keep my feelings to myself today, yeah. J Jay's the prediction guy, not me. You know, if you ask him a score or where this guy's going to serve on this point, he's always the one who's right about those things, not me. So I just try and stay away from it now. Too many bad experiences.
Let him do the playing and the guessing, I guess. You deal in facts.
Yeah, I'm the fact guy. I like the statistics, you know, all that stuff.
You're a bunch of guys, aren't you? Because so he's the prediction guy, you're the fat guy. Simon told me yesterday he was the fitness guy.
Yeah, I think you need people to have different skill sets for sure in a team. It does help a lot.
And it seems like a pretty relaxed bunch of people that you've got around, Jay. I mean, you've got the whole family anyway, and then everyone that I've met so far seems to be very focused, but very calm and very generous with their time and their thoughts.
Again, I think that's obviously down to our parents. They did a very good job when we were kids, you know, sharing our time, speaking to people around the tournament. You know, everyone is important. Obviously, we grew up coming to these tournaments as well, and going out onto the hard courts here and playing, you know, with Greg Rosetsky when he was playing the event or whoever was around that year. It does mean a lot to someone, so I think that's very important to do those things.
Those moments from your childhood are things that you remember forever. I remember when I was really into tennis, I used to go to Queens as a sort of an 11-year-old kid. And I don't know if you remember Ilie Nastasi. And Nastasi was one of my favourite players. It's a shame how the future's developed, but let's not even get into that. As an 11-year-old kid, he was my hero. I had this T-shirt on that had Superman on it. And Nastasi was walking by and said, "Are you really Superman?" I mean, yeah, I am. He said, "Oh, Superman better come and meet some of the other superheroes." And he took me in the clubhouse and I met all the greats like Stan Smith, John Newcomb, Jimmy Connors, all these people at the time. And every day Nastasi would see me outside and he'd take me in to meet all the players. And that's always stuck with me. Didn't help my tennis, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah, and like I say, even when we growing up, me and Jay actually had, you know, kits and stuff that Roger Federer were wearing at the time, or Nadal, or someone, you know, Badasco, it just played well, or something like that. And it does make a huge difference to your life, you know, to think, oh, you know, it makes you feel like a superhero. Obviously, they're playing well in it, so I'm going to play well in it. I remember Jay actually had one kit of Nadal's years and years ago, and used to wear it only when he felt he was definitely going to win the match. He used to make me laugh and run downstairs, like, "Oh, it's going to be a good day then." And he'd say, "Yeah, I think so." You know, it does mean a lot to kids.
But something sticks in your mind. I mean, obviously something just kicks into gear and you just go, yeah, this is the day I wear the Nadal outfit.
Yeah, they're important days of your life, for sure, when you're a kid. I mean, it moulds you. It really does mould you.
Talking about people who've been important in your lives and in your life as well as Jay's, you know, you mentioned your father.
Yeah, Dad. I mean, we kind of owe him everything, him and my mother. I mean, you know, we wouldn't even be playing tennis if it wasn't for him. We wouldn't be so close. Obviously, me and Jay have got a great relationship. You know, he always instilled that in us when we were kids. You know, I think he actually said to us, you know, it's very likely one of you end up coaching the other one. You know, I don't know which one's going to end up playing, which one's going to end up coaching. So, but, you know, you'll always stick together. You know, you always help each other as much as possible. And even with Yaz, it was kind of the same thing. You know, stick together. You know, help where you can. It was always that family mindset, I think.
And what about your mother? Was she instrumental in tennis or was sport not her thing?
I think it was good because my mum and my dad separated it almost a little bit. My dad was all the tennis, you know, all that. And then my mum was just my mum a lot of the time. She was, you know, she was obviously not to say my dad wasn't caring, but she was caring, you know, she would take care of us. She was kind of the break from tennis as well, which was like really, really good. I think we all needed that as well at the time.
So you're building up a picture here of a very supportive family and everyone playing a role within it. Yaz was also important from the tennis front.
Yeah, hugely important. Obviously, she started playing tennis the week Jay was actually born, and if she hadn't picked up a racket, we would never have picked up a racket. I remember going down to the local club when we were kids, you know, and we'd see Yaz, and I think by that time Yaz was already playing for GB, so it was almost an aspiration for us to keep playing tennis and see how far we could go with it as well.
She said something to me yesterday, I was just chatting to her, where she said, I think it was something along the lines that sport wasn't a chore, it was just something you all did every day.
Yeah, I think it was fun. Dad always made it fun, and so did Mum. I remember, you know, we'd go down to the club and practice for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. No no target or focus in mind, just playing and playing and playing and learning to enjoy or get better at certain things. And it was really, really fun learning how to build rallies, learning how to hit slice, learning how to hit lobs, you know, learning how to serve. Oh, do this serve or try and hit a kick serve. Or, and then even, you know, it came to physical conditioning. Dad would make us run around a field, you know, and say to us, me and Jay, oh, who can do the most laps? And I guess obviously we had a competitive edge anyway, me and Jay did, because we actually enjoyed that. You know, obviously maybe some kids wouldn't, but we'd always see it as a challenge. It was really good.
Are you saying you weren't really competitive with Yaz, that it was a slightly different sort of role that you had with each other?
I guess obviously it was slightly different because Yaz always felt like a lot older than me and Jay. I think me and Jay were seemed very, very close, even though I was 3 years older than him, and there's obviously a few more years between me and Yaz. But I guess obviously the brother thing was obviously huge. Obviously you had the same interests, playing video games, you know. We liked the same movies, those kind of things obviously had a big influence as well on me and Jay, I guess, being even closer. But obviously Jay's actually very close to Yaz as well, because he travelled with her for a long, long time before I even was in the picture. You know, obviously while I was still playing, Yaz and him actually went to a lot of junior events, and so their relationship's actually very, very close. I'd say they're actually, Jay and Yaz may be closer than me and Yaz are, actually.
And there's one more sister in the mix, is that right?
Yes, my older sister, Simone. Yeah, so she actually played as well. She was the only lefty in the family. She should have continued, but yeah, I don't know. She was a bit smarter than us, to be honest. That's why she went academics instead.
And what does she do now?
So she's a physician's associate. Yeah, so she does that now. She works at the hospital, taking care of patients every day. And I guess it's more of a normal life, but she's very, very smart.
She also has a role to play, is that right?
Yeah, so she actually does all Jay's accounts and my accounts as well. So she still helps out when she can. Actually, on her weekends off, she always does it. So we're very lucky.
It really is Sly and the Family Stone, a family affair, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. We all love it, to be honest. We enjoy it as well. I think, obviously, there's the moments where you're like, oh, I've got to do the books, or oh, I've got to do this or do that. But then we're all like, yeah, we're doing our part, which is perfect.
You were a tennis player. Yaz was a tennis player. Simone was a tennis player. You had your parents in there as well. That only one of you ended up carrying on being a tennis player. Is that a conscious thing? Is that just something that happened by chance? Or was it the only way it could happen for somebody in the family?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I think obviously financially it was tough to keep three tennis players going, and then we realised it was tough to maybe keep... Well, no, we didn't realise it was tough to keep two tennis players going, but I kind of... My dad took ill and in 2015, and I saw there was maybe only a few more like months or years for me to play, and it got to that point where I said, Jay might not meet his potential, I know how good he could be. And so I said to myself, you know, stop playing now. You can obviously be a very good coach. You're probably going to be coaching a few more years down the line anyway. I kind of saw my game maybe had a limit at some point anyway, and Jay's maybe really didn't. So I wanted to help him as much as possible explore his game and his future. So Mel Morris, actually Jay's sponsor, he has a foundation. Well, he has a charity called MStart, and so they've been funding Jay for the last few years now. And without, you know, Mel or his charity, Jay wouldn't play the sport. He was actually close stopping a few times because of funding, he couldn't fund his game. We had sponsors obviously before that as well, but yeah, without him we wouldn't be here, you know, talking. So
brilliant. We'll catch up next time. We have to wrap things up quickly, as Jay's match has been confirmed to be played this evening. I have to say, talking to Kurt was a real insight into how the Clarks work together and demonstrates just how much thought and preparation goes into the business of being a tennis player. Also, one thing really resonated with me: acceptance of situations. That's what Kurt talked about. Dealing with rain, bad calls, waiting, and I must do the same. I must accept my own situation. I must accept what's happening and deal with the waiting. Cheers, coach. What do I owe you for that bit of advice?
Gary, mate, where do I begin? I thought I should just give you a quick call, because here we are at the end of a very arduous day. you know, there's no play at all out on the grass during the day. And they finally moved some matches indoors, which was, I guess, a difficult decision. But consequently, Jay was on court at 8 o'clock this evening, which seemed like an awful long time to wait, having been waiting for 2 days to suddenly go on quite late at night. And didn't start well. He lost his opening service game and he didn't look happy on court at all. Lost the first set, and then trainers were coming in during the break between the two sets. He seemed to be holding his lower back, he's practicing serving, and that seemed to be the area. After a couple of games in the second set, he packed it in and retired hurt. So it's really awful end to the day, really, and I really hope he's okay. They literally ran from court pretty much, and I saw them heading straight out the building after a few minutes after the game. So let's hope he's okay, but where that leaves everything, I have absolutely no idea.
I didn't realise I was going to be playing this late.
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? I guess they thought, well, we'll keep them on court and get some matches under our belt. But I just wonder, it just feels so late. And if you've been waiting around all day. And also, the other thing is those indoor courts are really, really cold. And I just wonder if that contributed to the injury.
So Jay retired?
Yeah, he retired hurt.
You haven't been able to speak to him or Kurt?
No, as I say, they literally went off court because where you're sat on court, because it's not geared up for people to watch the games, you're sat 2 courts away with another game going on. So I couldn't get through to them because you have to walk through certain games. They went out through another door, and then a few minutes later, in the far distance, the glass window that you can see in front of you, which leads out to the exit, I saw them hurrying past and straight out the exit.
How did Jay look?
Don't know, it was really hard to see. He was, I just saw the back of him moving out of the building. So
when he was on court, was it, you know, was he in bad shape or?
He didn't look comfortable. Something was not feeling right, I think, from quite early on. Again, it's really hard to say because I was 2 courts away with another game going on in the middle of it. So it's not the ideal place to watch and see what's going on. But obviously, it was too much for him to continue. And I've no idea whether this is being cautious or whether he's done something that's really not too clever. That's what we need to find out, I guess.
Right, okay. Well, what we'll do then is obviously they've got more important things to worry about than us trying to speak to him and stuff at the moment. So maybe we'll just get in touch with Kurt tomorrow morning and see what the situation is, and we'll have a chat before I drive up to Nottingham.
I think that's all we can do, Gary. You know, I've sent him a message saying I hope Jay's okay, and got a quick reply saying they just had to go. So who knows? It's got to be difficult, hasn't it? At the start of the grass court season, get an injury. But
that's so frustrating because this weather's been horrendous. I know, obviously, it's nobody's fault. You can't control it, but the weather's been horrendous. And you know, when we spoke to him yesterday, he was in good spirits. He'd had a good practice session over at the David Lloyd Club, and so for this to happen, it's just frustrating because you know he was really gearing up and seemed to be getting a little bit of momentum, didn't he?
Yeah, and he'd beaten Duckworth only a few weeks ago, so all these things were pointing to, you know, a nice result coming up. But I guess that's sport, isn't it? One thing you can't really account for is the weather and also how your body copes.
Yeah.
I've
got some fish and chips, and Bruce is looking at me like he wants to eat them, and I don't want them to go cold. So I'm going to eat this, and then we'll just catch up tomorrow, yeah? And I'll speak to you before I come up.
All right, well, yeah, I'd love to get some food. There's nothing to eat here, so I'm starving.
I'll eat this and think of you.
Well, you know, I'm going to head home down the motorway. I'll be home by about 11:45, I reckon. So it's a little frustrating. Anyway, let's see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah, right, and mind those roads as well. I'm assuming they're going to be difficult to drive on with all that rain.
Yeah, and it's all country roads. I mean, there was trees down in the middle of the road when I was driving up this morning. So, yeah, I hope it's not as bad on the way back.
That was the most caring I've ever been with you, so I need to stop. Right, I'm going to eat these chips and I'll speak to you later.
Yeah, I feel a bit queasy. I'll see you later, mate.
See ya, bye.
It's 10:30 at night and I'm packing my bags to head home. I've just watched another young British prospect, Jack Draper, win his first match at the challenger level, just like Jubby earlier in the day. It should have been a momentous occasion, but who was there to watch it? His coaching team and a handful of people, including myself. As I'm heading out the door, John Mastrini tells me that he's happy to come and chat with me. This feels like a reward for all my waiting around. My bags are quickly unpacked and I'm ready to go. Now, I wonder what Jack had for breakfast. What did you have for breakfast today? I know it's a long time ago.
I had a full English, actually. It was a bit bit naughty, but my coach wasn't there, so I sort of went behind his back and had a full English breakfast this morning. But it didn't do me any damage today, so I'll have to do it tomorrow because I'm superstitious like that.
Well, that's fun, because normally when I ask people that question, they just say, oh, scrambled egg or something. But I'm getting a detailed answer that actually breakfast you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So you're superstitious, are you?
Yeah, yeah. Especially during tournaments. My room at home, for instance, is sometimes quite messy. But then when I'm staying at a hotel at a tournament, everything's got to be like perfect, everything's got to be in place, and if I'm winning, I'm superstitious, I go back to the same routines every day, same dinner, same food, so I am superstitious like that in a way.
Superstition, we'll see how it goes tomorrow, because that's going to be an interesting day for you tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Dan's a great player. It's going to be good to, you know, have him on court with me, and it's going to be a big challenge, but I feel like I know him pretty well. He competes unbelievably well. He's obviously a very talented player, gets coached by Dave Felgate, trains where I train at the JTC. It's going to be a real challenge for me, but, you know, I've got nothing to lose. I just go out there and, you know, play my game, and we'll see what happens.
So today, that was the first game you've won in a challenger, isn't it?
Yeah. It was great. It's like a career high win for me, so it's a good first match after being, you know, on and off of injuries for a while, so... I'm very thankful for the LTA for giving me a welcome to this event and giving me the opportunity to, you know, play at this high level.
And I suppose for a lot of people, they don't understand that the move up is quite a large one.
Yeah.
Is it only when suddenly you've had a win like today that your mentality goes, yes, I can win at this level? Do you need to see that, or do you know that you've got that within you anyway?
I think over the last year, I've sort of proved to myself that my level is good enough to compete with anyone. In practice, I'm competing with some really top guys, and if I can transfer that onto the match court, that's when consistently winning against these guys. And it was really good to get that win today, and it will give me a lot of confidence going forward.
You lost that first set. It was a close first set, but that seemed to do something to you. It seemed to drive you on. You seemed to go up a couple of gears. Was that noticeable within you, or did you have to mentally decide, now I've got to go to this place?
In the first set, I served great. I knew my groundies weren't as good as I wanted them to be, but that's understandable. It was my first competitive tennis match for a very long time, 2 months, I think, which is a lot in tennis terms. I went to the toilet after the first set, and I was feeling pretty tired, to be honest. But then I came out, I held serve quickly, and I got a break, and that's really when I started getting the confidence to really break the guy down. And I saw him down the other end, and he was looking a bit tired and looking like he'd sort of almost run out of ideas a bit, and I knew I had to hold strong in order to get the win.
There seems to be quite an interesting group of young British players at the moment. There's Jay Clark, there's yourself, there's Paul Jubb. Do you know all of these guys? Have you spoken to them? Do you swap notes at these tournaments?
We don't talk an awful lot. I don't speak to Jay an awful lot, but he's obviously doing great. He's 150, I think, in the world right now, and so he's going really strong. Paul is... NCAA champion. Yeah, I haven't spoken to him because he's been away in the States a lot, but he's come back to England, and you know, I did know him beforehand, so we have a great relationship together, and I think he's, you know, he's a really great player, and his success couldn't happen to a nicer person. He's an amazing guy, and he's a good friend for me, and good to have around. You've also got other guys coming up like Anton Matusevic, who's a really good young prospect. You've got George Lofhagen, who's, you know, amazing tennis player as well. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be excited for, in my opinion. Obviously, Andy's getting back on court. You've got Dan, who's, I believe, going to, you know, kick on again, like get to the really top of the game. And then you've got a playing field where it's all to play for. And then you've got some really exciting young up and coming prospects who not many people know about right now, but I'm sure they will in the future.
I've noticed also Jay was playing next to you today, and he had to retire hurt. Yeah. Were you aware of things like that when they happen, or were you really focused on your game? Because injury is something that worries everyone, and you've been through these things.
Yeah, for sure. Injuries are a really tough thing to take as a tennis player because, you know, it affects your career. You know, you're off court for a while, you never really know, you know, after that injury if you're going to stay fit. But when I was on court, I was quite focused, but I did see that he had to retire, and when I looked over at the change of ends, he looked like he was struggling a bit against Duckworth. It happens to every player, and I hope he has a good recovery.
So what are your aims for this summer? Is this really an exploratory summer? It's kind of like a win-win situation for you? Or with each day that goes by, do you start wanting bigger goals, or do you set ambitions?
To be honest, I came into this tournament really with no expectation at all. I knew I hadn't competed in a while. I've only been practicing for the last 2 weeks, which, you know, my volume isn't that high. You know, guys are playing day in, day out for years and years without injuries. And so, yeah, it's good to be out back on court. And, of course, it does affect you, but at the end of the day, if you can just put the hours in every day on court, I feel like my level's getting better all the time, and only with that confidence will grow. But right now, I'm just not looking any further than, I'm not looking any further in the future. I'm just trying to take every day as it comes, and I think that's the way forward right now.
So are you hopeful of wild cards further down the line, or will you be going back to playing other tournaments? Any thoughts?
Well, look, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of good players who deserve wild cards also. I was lucky to get one this week, and hopefully with the matches I can build on it and have a decent grasp, but I'm not expecting anything. You know, I've been lucky to receive a wild card this week, and looking forward, I'm probably going to play Ilkley and Wimbledon qualies. So that's my plan going forward, and if it changes, it changes. If it doesn't, then, you know, like I said, I'm just going day by day.
And lastly, how do you cope with things like this is one of the most wonderful tournaments around, and we have been in a rain, monsoon kind of period, and it's one of the saddest things to see an empty court outside, or lots of empty courts, no one there. But what's it like as a player just waiting, well, for 2 days to try and work out when you're going to play?
Yeah, it's energy sapping, to be honest. And, you know, as much as it's important doing all the right things on court and competing and stuff, it's vital what you do off court. If you're not wasting too much energy, when you're eating at the right time, if you're getting enough sleep, if you're doing all the rest of it. And these conditions really, you know, explore that as a tennis player, because you do need other things to compete properly. You know, if you're not in the right headspace because you've been playing darts or pool down there for hours, you're probably not going to go on court with the right mentality. But everyone's different at the end of the day, and you prepare how you prepare, and everyone's different, like I said.
Okay, well, I guess this is kind of how it must feel at the US Open and the Australian with the last two people in the building. It's about 10:30 at night. Yeah. So I guess you'll be playing again tomorrow. How do you feel about tomorrow? Do you think you'll be straight home to sleep, ready for the morning?
I'll probably just go back to the hotel, sleep as much as I can, and wake up, have breakfast, try and have the same-ish routine. I think I'm 4th on against Dan, so I'll probably it's just all about using time properly And yeah, looking forward to the match. It's going to be really good.
Great. Thank you ever so much and congratulations tonight. It made the waiting all the worthwhile watching that game.
Thank you for waiting that. Cheers.
Pleasure. That's me done for the day, and it feels like I'm the last person in the building. Don't worry, I'll turn the lights out. That John boy. That's the Waltons. I wonder if any of the younger listeners will even know who the Waltons are. Oh well. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series. And when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster. And Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.